from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger, to his own a stranger.
Mrs. Garner, let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. Before I get into the message, this being Veterans Day, I wonder how many veterans that we have. You've served in the military today. Would you stand so we can see who you are? You'll stand so everybody can see who you are. You've served in the military. All right, let's give these folks a big hand. All right, you can be seated. I wonder how many are in our congregation that you've had someone that has served in the military that may have lost their lives in serving our country. Would you stand? If you have are in our congregation and you have a loved one or someone in your family that has lost their life serving in our military. Wonderful. Let's give these folks a big hand. God bless you folks. You can be seated. You know, I love America, and I'm a patriot of what this country stands for, and I believe in it. God has given us and raised this country up to be the most powerful, the greatest country on planet Earth. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I understand Israel is God's people. I understand that. I'm not trying to lift America above that. I'm just saying that God has raised up America to propagate the gospel. No country in the history of the world has done a better job at getting the gospel and the message of Christ out than America has. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. And I want to thank those of you that have served our country, because if you hadn't served our country and done your job, we may not have what we have today if you hadn't done your job. And we appreciate that. We don't want to ever take that for granted. John chapter 3, would you stand with me this morning? John chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know. I'm going to stop right there. This is one guy talking to the Lord, and yet he came to them what seems to be on behalf of others, and he said, we know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know. So obviously there were others likewise that had been very, very overcome by the works and teachings of Christ. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that's the spiritual. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now I want to draw your attention, if I could, to this passage of Scripture this morning. And I want to speak to you on this subject: change is one decision away. Change is one decision away. Now, Father, would you bless us now in our time that we have together? And, Father, we want to leave this place changed for the better. We want to leave this place, Lord, with our hearts right, with our spirit right, and for some, with our soul and our salvation right with God. And so we pray this morning that, Lord, all of us this morning can take a bit of substance, Lord, from the teaching this morning, from this passage of Scripture. And we ask now that as the preaching of your word goes forth, may it fall on fertile ground and that spirits would be open now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, probably one of the most difficult things to do is to convince someone that they need help. I deal with that quite frequently in ministry. And people come and they share their situation, and I'll say, well, you know, maybe we need to look into this and look into that. Sometimes it's very difficult to convince people that they need help, because most people really believe that they can pretty much solve their problems themselves, or in their mind, preacher, it's all going to work out okay. It'll all turn out fine. Well, that sounds good in theory, but that's not reality, folks. You see, the thing about it is, if all we do is take the attitude that it's going to all work out in the end, then some are going to face a thrice holy God one day, and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, well, I thought it all was going to work out. He said, well, it would have if you'd have known Jesus. It would have if you'd have come to Christ. It would have all worked out right. But because you chose not to come to Christ, it's not going to work out like you thought it was going to work out. You see, some may even believe that because of their social status, or maybe their economic status, that they have no need, or maybe that no one can help them. You see, it's not that they don't realize that they have a problem in life. It's just that they're not sure that anybody has the answers to their problem. The story that I read you today is a story about a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. If you'll take a look at it, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees. He was an educated man. He was a religious man. This was a man that was involved very, very deeply in his belief system. Listen now, what he believed, he felt was right. He felt with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, that it was right. The problem was, he was about to find out that everything that he believed was wrong, and that Jesus was about to introduce to him a total new idea of change for him in his life. You see, he was a Pharisee, a religious man, an educated man. But I want you to also notice, it says he was a ruler of the Jews. He had a place of prominence. He had a place of leadership. Nicodemus was one of those men that when he walked down the street, he had a place of respect. People respected him. People looked at him and said, you know what, this is an honest man. This is a trustworthy man. This was not an evil man. This was not a bad man. You see, Nicodemus was a religious man. He's an educated man. But he also had a place of prominence, a place of leadership. But may I also, he was a man of reputation. You didn't become a Pharisee, you didn't become a ruler of the Jews without being a man of reputation. Obviously, he had a reputation of respect, of dedication to his morals. You see, Nicodemus wasn't a bad man, nor was he an evil man. He was loyal to his beliefs. He was loyal to his synagogue. He was loyal to his morals. He was loyal to the people that he served. And listen, in his mind, he thought everything that he was doing was the right thing to do. But you know, there's a lot of people in society like that. They're doing what the best that they know how to do with what they have. The thing about it is, what they're about to find out one day if they don't come to Christ is that everything that they put their trust in was wrong. Nicodemus, listen, he wasn't coming to be a smart aleck. He wasn't coming to condemn or to chastise the Lord. You see, even Nicodemus knew that he had a problem, and he could not solve the problem himself. You see, his problem, church, was that what he held on to as righteousness and pleasing to God was different from what Jesus taught, listen, and what Jesus' disciples lived. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Nicodemus looked at what he was. There was no joy in his life. There was no happiness in his life. There was no excitement in his life. There was no thrill in his life. But he began to look at Jesus and the followers of Christ, and they had a joy that he did not have. They had an excitement that he did not have. They had something motivating them that he did not have. And so what he decided to do was, I'm going to meet with Jesus, and I'm going to find out what's the difference between what I'm doing and what they have. Because there was evidence, and there was quite evident that there was a big difference between the two. Now, so Nicodemus decides, I'm going to see what the difference is. And listen, here's where Nicodemus made a right decision that some this morning are not going to. He realized he had a problem and he needed help. Listen now, and he made the decision to change. And some of us this morning are going to leave this place, we're going to hear a message, and we're going to leave having made no decision to make any changes whatsoever in our life. You see, Nicodemus knew that what he had and what Jesus taught and what his disciples lived were totally different. You see, the thing about it is, there was a different spirit about them than about the group that he hung out with. You see, the group of people that he hung out with were Pharisees. They walked around with their nose up in the air. They thought that they were God's gift to man as far as the religious community is concerned. And so they lived a life basically what they considered above most of humanity. And there was no joy or happiness in that lifestyle. Nicodemus looked at Jesus and he looked at his followers and he saw they had a different spirit about them. Can I say this morning, if you're a child of God, people ought to recognize a difference between in you. They ought to, listen, if nothing else, they ought to recognize that you've got a different attitude and a different spirit and a different motivation and a different direction and a different focus. Hey, Nicodemus recognized it. He recognized they got a different spirit than I've got. I'm going to find out what that is. The second thing I think that he noticed is that they had a different excitement about them. They were excited about something. His group wasn't excited about anything. You know, the thing about it is, folks, you know what most of us need today? We need an injection of excitement. Yeah, we need to be inoculated with some excitement. You say, what do we have to be excited about? Well, you're alive, aren't you? You got God. Listen, if you're a child of God, you got a home in heaven. You got a God that cares for you and loves you and promotes you and blesses you and shows favor to you. We need to be inoculated with some excitement. No wonder most of the world today don't want what we have, because there doesn't seem to be very many people excited about what we have. Let me tell you something. Nicodemus noticed there was a difference. He noticed there was a different spirit and he noticed there was a different excitement. These people actually were going out promoting their message. Listen now, the followers of Jesus didn't wait for people to come to them. They went to them and promoted the message of Christ. You know what the Pharisees did? The Pharisees didn't go to anybody. They waited for people to come to them. And that was totally contrary to the will of God. And Nicodemus noticed this. So not only did he notice they had a different spirit and that they had a different excitement, listen, he also noticed they had a different view about souls. They had a different view about people. They actually were concerned about a person's soul. You see, the Pharisees were only concerned about either themselves, or they were only concerned about having rulership or having authority over people. But the followers of Jesus had a different view about souls. They were witnesses. They were telling people. They were happy. They were smiling. They were excitement. You see, they had a different view about souls. And then one other thing I think that maybe Nicodemus recognized was that they had a different approach to service about them. They had a totally different approach to service. Remember the Pharisees? All they were concerned about was being seen. All they were concerned about was quoting their prayers in public so that they could be seen and so that people would say, wonderful. Man, I'm telling you what, that is a spiritual man right there. Now listen, if all a person had to judge was the outward appearance of the Pharisees, you'd think, man, those people are close to God. Right? If that's all you had to judge on was what they looked like, you'd say, those people are close to God. The problem is, Jesus said, outwardly, you're like whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. He says, you may have an outward appearance, but inside there's nothing there. Listen to me, and do you realize that's exactly what Nicodemus was feeling? He knew exactly what the Lord was talking about. And Nicodemus felt this. Now listen, the difference between him and some today is he decided to make a choice to change. And he knew that he needed help. He knew there was a problem. You see, Nicodemus had come to the conclusion that he needed answers. Listen, and the only way that he could find the answer to his problem was to go straight to the source. He didn't go through hearsay. He didn't go through his next door neighbor's ideas. He didn't read Dr. Duflunky's theological books. He didn't, listen, he didn't believe what the people in the synagogue were saying. He went straight to the source. You say, yeah, but listen, wasn't he a coward? He went at night. Hey, listen, I don't care what you say. At least he went. Right? At least he went. At least he made a choice. He made a decision to change. And he went at night. And he met with the Lord. May I remind you, if you're a child of God today, you have the opportunity to go straight to the source. May I remind you that Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, the thing about it is, I don't need to go through any other source. I can go straight to the source. I can go straight to the throne of God for the help that I need. Now, a couple of things I want you to notice that Nicodemus said during his conversation. Go back, if you would, to verse number 2. The scripture says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, I don't want you to notice this statement. He said, we know. We know. Now, wait a minute. Now, the Pharisees were in direct opposition to everything Jesus was. So how did they know? Well, the same reason that you know. Because you cannot escape the knowledge of God. And every time that something is presented to you over and over and over again, your conscience will constantly tell you, this is of God. This is of God. That's the reason there is no such thing as an atheist. They may claim to be one, but the thing about it is their own conscience denies it. Why? Because they've already been pre-programmed according to the scripture to have the knowledge of God. But notice what Nicodemus said. He said, we know. But look what he said they know. He says, we know thou art a teacher come from God. He says, you know what? We've looked around, and I think it's quite evident that nobody can do these things except they be sent from God. He said, we know you're from God. We know that. Listen now, but why was it that only Nicodemus is the one that showed up? Now, I don't know why, but I know this. He said, we know. I'm just wondering if he went back and told some of the rest of them. I just wonder if there might have been two or three or four of them that said, listen, I don't think we're going to go, but if you want to go, ask him to come back and tell us. Did he not say, we know? I just wonder if he went back and told some of the others, said, listen, this is what he told me. This is what he told me. You see, we know, he said, you're from God. Notice what else he says. He says, we know that for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He says, not only do we know that you're from God, we know that these miracles are real. Because we've seen those people that you've healed, they're still healed. We've seen those people that were blind, they can see, never lost their sight again. Oh, by the way, we also see all of these other miracles that you've done, when you did them, they happened immediately. None of them weren't lined up here and say, well, do you have 50% of faith? If though, you'll get 50% healed. If you have 75% or 100, no. Did you notice in many, many, many cases, Jesus never even asked them about their faith? He just did it. You see, what I'm saying to you today, folks, listen to me. That was quite evident to Nicodemus that not only was he from God, but the miracles that he did were real. He says, we know we do not have what you have. We know that what we have is not what you have. We know that what we feel is not what you feel. We know that what you're practicing is not what we're practicing. He said, we know that. What we believe, what you believe, totally two different things. And then he says, and then I think he thought, we know that your message is changing lives. Let me ask you this, was their message changing lives? No. Was the message of Jesus changing lives? Yes. Matter of fact, that's what got them so stirred up, right? That's why they crucified Jesus, because his message was changing lives. Their message was doing nothing for anybody except lording over people, except degrading people. And yet the message of Jesus was changing lives. So Nicodemus says, We know that you're from God. We know these miracles work. We know that we don't have what you have. We know that this message is changing lives. But I want you to notice, after Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let me say this. I think for a sneaky suspicion, I think that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, I think that he thought that this all had something to do with some form of works. Is that right? Because he talked about miracles. And did you notice that, because by the way, were not the Pharisees very work-oriented? Very work-oriented. And did you notice that as when Nicodemus said these things, that Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He snuffed that out just like that. One statement. But I want you to notice something else Nicodemus said in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how? I don't understand this. How can all this be? How does this change take place? You're talking about this change. You're talking about this born again things. How can that possibly be? That's a legitimate question, right? How? I mean, you're talking about being born again. You're talking about, how does that happen? Remember, the Lord went on to tell him, that which is born of water is water. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, I believe Nicodemus was saying, okay, not only how, but by what means? What do I have to do to get this? What do I have to do to get what you have and what your disciples? How can change take place in my life? I think you might have been asking Jesus, how long will this change last in my life? Because you remember later Jesus talked about eternal life and everlasting life. You see, I think Nicodemus might have been asking, how is this different from what I believe? In other words, what's the difference between what you believe and what you're teaching and what I believe? And Jesus went on a discourse to him, and then I want to call your attention to several things that Jesus said here in response to Nicodemus saying, how? How can a man be born again? Then he comes down to verse number 9. How can these things be? I want you to look at, underline just a few answers that Jesus gave him that I hope will help you this morning. Because I'm afraid that there might be some here this morning that might be asking that same question. How? You say, "Preacher, I've gone through all kinds of turmoil. You don't understand what I've done. I have messed my life up so bad." And then in your mind, you came to church at the invitation of somebody this morning and you're thinking to yourself, how? How? How can I get beyond where I am? How can I change? How can I do the things that Nicodemus talked about? Can I say, change is only one decision away. Nicodemus had to decide to make a change. You know where he went? Went right to the source, same place you can go. I think sometimes we depend way too much on our friends and way too much on our acquaintance instead of going right to the source. Go straight to the source. Listen, folks, this morning I need to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the only one that can change you. Your friends can love you. They can be your friend. They can be your companion. But they can't change you. Only the Lord can change you. So Nicodemus figured that out. He thought, you know what? I'm looking around here to my buddies in the Sanhedrin here. Ain't none of them can change me. They got the same problem I got. So you know what he thought? He thought, you know what? I'm going to go straight to the source. And he went straight to the source. And then here's what Jesus, when he asked the question, how, here's what Jesus answered him. I want you to look in verse number 7. I want you to underline these two words. He said, marvel not. Marvel not. He said, don't wonder, don't think that this thing is impossible. In other words, you've seen me do all these miracles, right? You've seen me heal the sick, raise the dead. You've seen me do all these things. He said, marvel not. Don't you think that I can save even a person like you? He said, marvel not. Don't wonder. He said, listen, what I teach, my ways, Mr. Nicodemus, are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. Basically what he told Nicodemus, he said, you're going to have to come my way or you're going to have to find the highway. It's either my way, because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nicodemus was getting a little lecture here about the way of salvation. He said, so marvel not, don't wonder, don't think that this is some kind of strange idea. He said, you came to me and you've already told me that you know that I'm sent from God. So, why should it confuse you about when I say you must be born again? So Jesus told him, he said, how? He said, okay, first of all, marvel not, because what I'm about to tell you is going to blow your mind. Now, folks, here's what you got to understand. Salvation will blow your mind. It will. But in a good way. Because the Scripture says salvation will take you from death unto life. It'll take you from a carnal mind to a transformed mind. Salvation, he said, listen, Nicodemus, marvel not, because what I'm about to tell you, it's going to be hard for you to swallow because you've never been taught this before. But you know what I think, Nicodemus? I don't find anywhere in the Scripture he interrupted the Lord. I think Nicodemus thought, listen, I've seen what you have and it's not what I have. I've heard what you say, it's not what I say. I've seen how your disciples live, it's not how I live. Listen, come on, talk to me. Talk to me, tell me. He said, okay, marvel not. Because what I'm about to tell you is going to be intense. The next thing that he told him was this. Look down in verse number 14. You know, the Lord was a master at using illustrations. Now listen, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, right? So that means he would have known the Old Testament like the back of his hand, right? You know what he uses? He uses one of the greatest patriarchs that's known to the Jewish culture. He says, and as Moses. Oh boy, you think Nicodemus' ears perked up then? Moses? Talk to me now. Moses, that's the guy that's who God gave the law to. That's who led Israel out of Egypt. Come on, talk to me. Moses, what did he do? What about him? Listen. But here's what he was about to tell him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And let's stop. You think Nicodemus knew about this? Oh yeah, he knew about this like the back of his hand. He knew about the lifting of the serpent in the wilderness for those who were being bit by serpents. If they look on that, he says, look and live. Oh yeah, he knew about this. So boy, old Nicodemus is perked up. You know what the Lord is? Right? He's reeling him in because he's got his attention. He's talked about now, he's brought up Moses. And he said, look what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, oh, look at this now. He's fixing to make a correlation between that and him. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now think about this. Look at the analogy that he's making here. He says, as Moses lifted up in the serpent, when they looked at the serpent, they looked and lived. He says, so shall the Son of Man must be lifted up, and they that look upon Him and trust Him shall live. Boy, I'm telling you, Nicodemus, can you see the smoke coming out of his ears? You see, he's told him. He said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, Jesus Christ must be preeminent in every single way, in every single area. And boy, Nicodemus is thinking about this. First of all, Jesus said, marvel not. Okay, come on, talk to me. He says, all right, here it is. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he made that analogy. And listen, all of a sudden, can you see the little light bulb in Nicodemus' head? You ever seen the little kid on the cartoon walk around with the light bulb on? Listen, folks, things are starting to make sense now. Because everything that Nicodemus had been taught was about the one he was talking about and talking to. Everything that Nicodemus had learned, he was looking in his face. And so Jesus said, marvel not. Then he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And then I want you to look at verse number 16. Probably the greatest verse in all the Bible. And listen, here are two things that Jesus has already told him in answer. How? He said, okay, marvel not. Don't wonder about what I'm about to tell you. He said, because I know you're going to think it's going to blow your mind. He said, the analogy, that serpent in the wilderness that Moses held up, that's me. I must be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, what did he say he would do? I will draw all men unto me. I'll draw everybody. regardless of what their situation, what their nationality is, what their economic status is, what their situation is. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. And then he looked at Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, look at me right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I don't know how you look at scenes in the Bible. I wonder if about that time a big old tear swelled up in old Nicodemus' eyes. As he began to realize, you know what? This is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been taught about. This is the one that that's been spoken about. And he looked at him, he said, God so loved the world that he provided salvation, that he provided forgiveness of sins. He provided a way of communication as far as a prayer life is concerned. Listen, he looked at Nicodemus, he said, God loves you even though you didn't love him. He said, all this religious jargon and all this religious stuff that you've been doing, he said, salvation's not in that. Salvation is in a person. And he said, you're looking at him right here. And I wonder if big old tears swelled up in Nicodemus' eyes as Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Look at verse number 18. Then he says, once a person believes, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And look what he said. He said, marvel not. Don't let this blow your mind now. He used the analogy of Moses and him, the serpent, and him being lifted up. Then he said, for God so loved the world, he loves even you, Nicodemus. He's willing to save even you. And then he says, I've got some good news for you. He said, if you get born again, for he that believeth on him, speaking of himself, is not condemned. Oh, I'm going to use this morning because this irritates so much of the religious world. You know what he was saying? Once you get saved, you're always saved. Boy, it just sends chill bumps out of most of the religious world. You know why? Because most of the religious world believes the same thing the Pharisees did, that salvation has to have something to do with some type of works-oriented idea. And Jesus nullified every bit of that. He nullified every bit of it. Why? Because he was talking to a man that was works-oriented. And he simply told him, God loves you. And then he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He said, Mr. Nicodemus, if you'll get born again, I'll save you forever. He says, I'll even set up a place for you in heaven. Now, I don't know if he went into that with him or not, but I know this. I think Nicodemus is getting excited about this time. Realizing. Now, folks, here's one thing you got to understand. We're talking about a man that was going to have to make a huge change. He was going to have to leave everything that he had ever believed in his life and turn to Jesus Christ. And you listen to me this morning. If you're holding on to religion, you may have to leave everything you've been taught to cling to Jesus. If you've been raised a certain way, you may have to leave and turn your back on everything that you have been taught in order to believe Jesus Christ. Well, there is a little minor problem. And Jesus made reference to this in verse 19, and I'll finish here. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Truth, Him, Jesus. Listen now. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. He said to Mr. Nicodemus, he said, I need to tell you something. You may believe, but some of your other buddies aren't going to believe. And he said, you may come to Christ, but some of your buddies aren't going to come to Christ, and you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to continue to be a closet Christian, or are you going to come out for Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, let me say this to you. The problem was, people are so involved in dark things. People are so involved in the darkness of this world that darkness has such a grip on their life that they can't even see the light. And they and their desires are so captivated by sin and so captivated by a lie that they can't even break loose to see the light. And Jesus is looking. And this guy, listen, this guy wasn't even captivated by darkness. He was captivated by religion. It was religious things that that captured him. But I think before they left there, Jesus told him, he said, "You're going to have to make a decision, Mr. Nicodemus." You say, well, come on, tell us the end of the story. Did he get born again? Well, you tell me. Because when it came to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea that went and begged the body of Jesus to prepare it for burial. There was someone else that accompanied him. By the way, Joseph of Arimathea was one of these religious guys also. There was a guy that accompanied him taking down the body of Jesus and making sure that it was prepared. Somebody want to help me out who that was? That was Nicodemus. Nicodemus had decided, you know what? Fully on that type of lifestyle. I don't care what they say about me. I'm coming out for Jesus. I'm going to make a change today. And he made the change. And listen, you know what it started? It started with one decision. And you know, that's all it can start with you. You just need to make one decision. Because change is only one decision away. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around this morning. I wonder who can say this morning, "Preacher, I'm a born-again believer. If I died today, there's no question about it. I have had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ." Would you slip your hand up and say, "That's me, preacher." Give a testimony before the Lord. Say, "That's me. I've been born into the family of God." All right, you can put your hands down. I wonder if there might be one or two here this morning that would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm going to be honest. I'm in church. I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. But you'd at least let me pray for you." You say, "Preacher, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. It's not that I don't want to go, preacher. It's just that I just don't know. And you would let me pray for you this morning." You came to church this morning with change on your mind. You came to church this morning with a decision on your mind, knowing that you have a need. Don't leave without that need being met. And you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I've been born into the family of God. Would you please pray for me?" Nobody's looking but me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, "That's me." Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. God bless you. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else will join these two? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Just say, "Preacher, that's me. God bless you." Anybody else will join these three and say, "Preacher, that's me. I just don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me?" Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian. You've never been baptized after you got saved. You say, "Preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." Anybody else like that? Just slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized, and I know I need to obey God in that area. Just slip it up and I'll pray for you." God bless you and you. Anybody else? Join these two. You can slip your hands down. Anybody else? All right. Then one last thing. I wonder how many are here this morning. Say, "Preacher, I have a great need in my life. And I know in my heart this morning I need to decide to change. And I came to church this morning. Maybe it was on your mind. Maybe it was on your heart. And you know that there's a need. You know there's an area of your life that if you just met with Jesus, if you just came this morning and maybe knelt at an altar here and prayed that God would do a work in your life, and you say, "Preacher, I know there's an area in my life that needs change. And I know it's only one decision away. Pray, preacher, that I'll make the right decision to take that step of change in my life." How many are like that? Nobody's looking at me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask you, please, this morning, would you meet with us? Would you bless us, help us, Lord? And Lord, I pray for those who need to be saved that raise their hands, that this morning would be the day of their salvation. Oh, Lord Jesus, please, I don't want a person to leave this morning not knowing Christ. Some, Lord, raised their hands, said they need to be baptized. I pray that this morning that they would come and be obedient in believer's baptism. I pray also, Father, that your hand would be upon this invitation. And, O Spirit of God, do your work, we pray. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you for what shall be accomplished in Christ's wonderful name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet.